I don't know, nor do I need to know, what time it is. These long, clockless days up here in Ellison Bay, I have stopped doing social work, closed my office, and Ben has several weeks until he begins teaching, so we came up here just as all the vacationers were heading back home. What a feeling to drive without traffic north on the peninsula, past the clogged lanes all heading south. This is the first September of my life that I've not had to return to school or a job, and the first September in 26 years that I haven't had a child at home beginning the school year. We woke early, the birds, the open shades, then fell asleep again in our peaceful upstairs bower. It's so quiet. I came downstairs and had coffee on the back stoop, listening to the birds. The mourning dove coos. A quick-moving, ground-feeding blackbird hops under the willow. It's some years now that I've been reading books by the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh and meditating. The bookstore clerk, when he added up my stack of books, teased, "That's a lot of enlightenment." Sitting on the back stoop of our cottage, I see that, like the trees, I am just a form of life, that all life is made from different combinations of the same elements. Yet a willow is not a maple or a pine, but each is a different manifestation of life. Unlike a human being, though, the willow has no brain to inform it of its existence, nor a heart to grow fond of others and feel pain at their pain or at their absence. The willow and the maple and the pine have cast their seeds effortlessly, and now there's a new small forest growing in our backyard, and I cast Matt and Lucy, growing still but far away from me now in their own lives. Willow, maple, pine, me. Last night after supper, Ben and I walked to the shore at Cedar Grove. The water was completely still. I don't remember ever seeing it that still. A mirror to the sky, which was apricot and violet blue. The colors, the satiny look on the still water, and the thin white line of the horizon made me nearly dizzy. As Ben said, it was like looking at infinity. A lone duck paddled through the violet blue and apricot satin water, leaving a perfectly even wake and quacking occasionally. I keep thinking about bears. The paper said there's a black bear here in Ellison Bay that came over from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and last week to Sister Bay. It cleans out bird feeders. Last night when it was still hot and I couldn't sleep and came down to the sofa, I thought about our open back door and the smelly garbage just inside it and me lying on the sofa, about the bear show we saw on TV and how unpredictable bears are and the scenes of them attacking people in places always considered safe. A 300-pound bear could go through our screen door in a flash. Even our big door is flimsy. This bear hasn't been going in anyone's house or garbage yet, but clearly keeping smelly garbage within scent of it is like an invitation. It's changed the way I feel about the screen door at night, that's for sure. A bear. Imagine, as my 10-year-old mother wrote in one of the diary entries she'd written as a child and a teenager, which I'd found in a box in the basement at home. One diary when she was 10, and two more when she was 14 and 17. Not all the pages are used, but there are enough entries from each period of her life to give me a look into what her life was like, what she thought about. For the past few years, I've been writing my book about Mother, about what happened in her life that caused that once lovely, intelligent, talented girl whose voice I can hear in her old diaries to have ended up as she did, so very ill for so long, and depressed, and finally, at only 63, smoking herself to death. Being unable to help herself get well, to help herself be happy, to help me grow up. I want to know what happened. I want to understand my mother's life. These first weeks of freedom from work, from child rearing up here in Wisconsin, I have all day, every day, to work on it. I opened the back door abruptly to sit on the stoop in my purple bathrobe with my coffee and surprised a gray fox, who turned to look at me for quite a long moment before trotting to the back of the yard, then turning again before disappearing. "Oh," I said, startled, and came back inside the door until he vanished, when I came out and claimed my spot as Homo sapiens. I realized when we see animals in our yard that it is our tenure here, not theirs, that is the unexpected one. The creatures that live in this piece of land are startled to see me here. If the fox were writing a diary, he'd write, "Just as I was heading for home on Garrett Bay Road, a large, pale creature wearing purple with dark hair on its head appeared and made a short sound. We looked at each other briefly. I could see it was frightened of me, so I trotted on to the back of the yard and onto my path home. I had to turn and look once more, though, for it was standing at the entrance to its nest, still looking at me. It had no tail or ears." Early, overcast, rainy in fact, still, Ben woke me by his effort to get dressed. The closet door squeaked, the drawer groaned. We are like one living organism anyway, with one's actions, moods, pains affecting the other. I could feel I wouldn't be able to return to sleep, but it was okay. He joined me for my walk up the road which goes past the cemetery. The dew was heavy on the grass left by the fog, and my shoes got wet when I sat upright, a vase of roses which had fallen over on a recent grave, the dirt coffin-sized. We kept on to that road where a barking dog sometimes has sent us away, and then to Town Beach, where we sat on the dock, the fresh, nearly cold breeze on our faces, the warm sun out, now briefly, on our shoulders. The wind made waves and a loud surf over the many boulders. The water was clear. All of it is still unspoiled. The bluff, the little harbors to our right, the blue water to the horizon. We meditated, sitting on the dock. Then I said, sitting cross-legged, "I'm interested in meditating, in enlightenment, in writing something beautiful, and in those homemade donuts at the Viking." We got sandwiches at the tidy, clean Fish Creek store today and took them to the little park. Seagulls begged and harassed us. We read, then took a drive on a meandering road with stone walls, tall cedars, and surprising big mansions overlooking the water. My favorite house, however, is the small one by the park, right downtown, an old house whose windows look out in the bay. We parked and read again, waiting for my meeting. It got dark and the lights came on and someone went into the dollhouse Gibraltar Town Hall to get the coffee ready, and the lights came on in there. 8 of us only at the AA meeting. The nourishment of honest talk and stories of recovery. A light rain and in our car, Ben waiting for me, reading by the dome light, a soft, dark ride home up the peninsula and past a dead deer. The peninsula feels different now in autumn than it does in high summer. Prior to an afternoon nap, I'd been reading Mother's teenage diaries and looking at the blueprints and photos of the house she grew up in Iowa. And during my nap, I dreamt that Mother was in a compartment on a train that I, too, was on. "Why, haven't I told you what I'm doing?" I asked her in astonishment, both hands on the sides of my face. "I am writing a book about, well, it's about you, actually, and I'm using your diaries. I mean, I guess I need to ask you, may I use your diaries? And, oh, there's so much I would love to talk to you about." I was aware of a familiar anxiety that she would not really be interested. "Of course," I said with growing excitement, "you know absolutely everything that I want to ask about your father, your mother and your house, your life." She's not looking into my eyes, as was usually true in real life. "Oh, where to begin?" I went on. "We can have lunch together and talk about it." I rush off to get all my papers together, as I can't go with her until I get all of that important stuff. I can't just leave it. But where is it? How do I get back to my space and then find hers again? Suddenly, I'm in a seat with my brother on my left and my sister on my right, and we're traveling forward. Are we moving? I ask in great alarm. Is the train moving forward? They nod. No, I cry. Did Mommy get off? Yes, of course, they say, at that stop back behind us. I'm frantic, crying. I long so to be with her. We were going to have a meal together and talk about everything. But she's gotten off, and I couldn't get off yet, and she's too far back now for me to find her again. No, no, I cry. I want to be with Mommy. I wake, feeling I might actually throw up, so full of sadness, frustration, and a terrible longing I remember from a time when she'd once driven off without me, and I had thought she would wait for me. Awake, I'm crying and go downstairs to the empty, clean, sunny, quiet kitchen, aware that I have somehow been returned to this present from the past, to Ben, who holds me. In a while, I calm down, and we have tea. Suddenly, after days and weeks and months, after, in fact, years, I have finished a draft of my memoir about Mother. When I bundle the whole manuscript into a cardboard box and carry it to Ben to show him, the weight of it suddenly strikes me. It reminds me of the box of her ashes. I'm up very early, writing in my little room in our cottage in Ellison Bay, the laundry room with its water heater where once the girl cat sat with her tail wrapped around her neat paws. I'm thinking of the jay's nest Ben took out of our backyard, the one they were building in the spring and have since abandoned. It is a marvel, woven together in the central part with smaller sticks, while larger and coarser sticks make up the outer part. It's practically braided. It must have taken them a long time to build it. This day is a brand new day, all for me and Ben together up here. I am no longer the youngest child of a depressed and ill and addicted mother, no longer a mother myself raising children, or a wife to that ex-husband who could not see me. My heart no longer needs to ache for my social work clients. I am free and my own. My time, those precious, irreplaceable hours that make up my life, belongs only to me. I am the whole person I came into this world to be, free to enjoy the beauties and pleasures of life one day at a time. I am sober. I am free of addictions. I am simply a recovering person, able to utilize and appreciate AA, all that was the beginning of my path to health, and I have the teachings of Thich Nhat Hanh to aspire to work towards. I am grateful for my sobriety, for Ben's love, for my son and my daughter in the world, for this beautiful, peaceful place. If I had remained in the prison of alcoholism and of addiction to cigarettes, every day I would have been destroying myself and destroying my loved ones' possibilities. How is it that I have been able to be freed from that prison? How have I been so blessed? Because so many years ago now, I spoke to my friend Rachel, and she put me in touch with Lee, the alcohol counselor, because Lee listened and talked with me and gave me books to read and took me to AA. Because AA was there, because I believed what they told me, and I went to meetings and listened, learned, and didn't drink one day at a time. Each thing led to another thing. That's how that bird's nest in our yard got made, one twig at a time. And all this river of time later, here I am, awake in the early morning in Wisconsin, calm, strong, well, full of so much I want to do. I began writing here before dawn. Now it's light, and the rest of the world, the up-here world, will wake and stir. A few cars will begin to crawl into the post office lot across from our cottage as village folks stop to check for mail. The yellow school bus will stop, lights flashing, for the little yellow-haired boys across Garrett Bay Road. I'll eat and listen to the news, shower, meditate, and begin this day.